So in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, some of this is the key verse of Acts, is we're going to see the gospel go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. Of course, the world, the known world, was much smaller then. So, but they're gonna do a really nice job of spreading the gospel. But their key component, one of the key components of this, was persecution, suffering, because that caused them to go to other places and spread the gospel. And then after he said this, they looked up, and he was lifted up on a cloud and took him out of their sight. And that was the ascension of Jesus. And now they're left on earth alone, and the helper has not come. So first they choose a replacement for Judas, and that went well, of course. So now they're going to have to wait for the helper to come. And Jesus had been crucified during Passover, and then he was resurrected, obviously. And then he spent 40 days appearing to the disciples and to people he was close to. And then he ascended. 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. It's 7 weeks plus 1 day. It's 50 days, which is why it's called Pentecost. So they're getting ready to celebrate Pentecost. So they have 10 days that they're waiting between the Jesus' ascension to Pentecost. And I don't know what they did during this time. I'm sure they were making preparations for Pentecost and spent a lot of time talking together about what was going to happen next and when was this helper coming and what was it going to be like and, you know, all those things. But they were stayed together. They gathered. And in Acts 1:12 through 14, we see them praying. And I think it's important that the Bible tells us that they were praying with one accord. They were praying unified, that they could do the job that Jesus had given them to do, I'm supposing, and that they would be ready when the time came. So that just sets the stage, gives you a setting of what's happening here. And then we go to Acts 2. I'm going to have to skip over lots of things because we just don't have time to do it all in a few minutes. So go to Acts 2, and they're getting ready for Pentecost. And as Peter's preaching, he says many truths about God. He says many things, and I gave you a chance to write down some of these key truths. And one of the things that he says is that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He said, God raised him up. You killed him. God raised him up. But he was the true Savior of the world. Everyone who calls upon his name will be saved. Not just the Jewish people, but everyone. And they were cut to the heart and asked what should they do? He says, repent and be baptized. And 3,000 people believed and were saved that day. I would love to have seen this. I would love to see 3,000 people in Lawrence, Kansas be saved. This event was the beginning of the church and the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, that through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I had you look up some of these passages that of God's appearing to Abraham earlier, because this had always been God's plan, was to use the descendants of Abraham to bless the whole world. In a perfect world, everyone would have believed, and that would have been it. But that, of course, doesn't happen. So let's go to Acts 3. The Jewish leaders, of course, well, the church had had much corruption for centuries, off and on. And the Jewish leaders were always protective of people coming into the tabernacle and speaking things that weren't true. So they're skeptical. But look at this event that happens in chapter 3. First of all, we have a man brought in who's lame, and he's carried in, and all he can do is beg for alms. He can't work, so he just begs. And he looks, Peter and John are walking past him, and he looks at them, and he asks for alms. And then Peter says, well, I don't have any money. I can't give you anything, but I can give you what I have. And what I have is so much more. It's so much better. And he heals him. And then the people saw it, and they were amazed. The people are just in awe of what Peter and John are doing. And then Peter preaches. And then look at what happens at the beginning of chapter 4. The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees were annoyed that Peter had done this. So they arrested him. But the people that were standing around, about 5,000 people, became believers as they were arresting Peter and John. So the Jewish leaders are concerned, and they said, "What by what power did you do this?" And of course they say, "By the name of Jesus, whom you crucified." So the Jewish leaders were concerned about the boldness with which they spoke, even though they were uneducated and common men. They were told not to talk about it anymore. So they said, okay, just don't talk about it anymore. They really could not do anything else to them because everybody had seen what had happened. 5,000 people believed and were saved. And if they had beaten or done anything to Peter and John, they would have had a lot of people really upset. So they couldn't really do anything about it. So they said, just don't talk about this anymore. Go on, don't talk about it. Now, Peter and John, of course, say, well, we have to obey God. We can't do anything but speak about what God's done. So Peter speaks again, and he prays, and he's praying for boldness. He's praying that God will show himself. So he's just been told not to talk about this anymore. And what does he do? He goes and prays for boldness. Just Peter, right? And then the place shook. Gives me chills. And then the body of Christ, these new believers, become one heart, one soul, and share everything. And live together, and nobody lacks anything because they're all sharing. So what can we do as body believers to make us more like the believers in Acts 4? We have so much opportunity right now in our world to do this, with so many people out of work, so many people hurting because of that. Kids out of school with nothing to do, parents getting frustrated, when are things going to get back to normal? So we have an amazing opportunity here and now to show the body of Christ. Well, let's go on. In Acts 5, we have a story about, one of the things that happened in 4 actually is Barnabas sells some property and brings all the money to Peter and John to use for anybody that needs it. And he doesn't hold anything back. Well, then in chapter 5, we have a story of Ananias and Sapphira, who plan together before they did this to sell some property and keep some of the money for themselves and then bring the rest to Peter and John. And we know that they both died, first Ananias and then Sapphira. And it wasn't so much because they didn't give all the money, but they lied. God wants all of us. God does not need our money. He will get our money somehow. He doesn't need it. He gets what he needs in his own way. He wants our hearts. And here we see that Ananias and Sapphira were not giving their whole heart to God. So there was great fear among the people, and then many signs and wonders, and more believers, more people are listening to Peter and John and believing in Jesus. And then how do the Jewish leaders respond? Well, they're jealous. They don't get the people don't act like that for them. So they put them in prison. And Peter speaks boldly about Jesus, and the leaders are furious and want to kill them. He says, we've got to obey God, not you. We're going to obey Jesus, whom you crucified. Well, they're trying to figure out what to do. These Jewish leaders are trying to figure out what they're going to do with Peter and John. And Gamaliel speaks up. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't know exactly, but Gamaliel is what I'll call him. So he says, if it's from man, it's going to fail. But if it's from God, you can't defeat it. So there's no reason to even try. They did beat them and then let them go and said, don't talk about Jesus anymore. But look at the attitude of the apostle. Look at the attitude of the apostles in Acts 5, 41 and 42. They were rejoicing in that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Christ, and they kept preaching. So as the church began to grow, we've seen maybe 10,000 or so people have believed this to this point. We had 3,000, we had 5,000, and then we had more added every day. We don't know those numbers, but I'm just going to say around 10,000 just to, you know, give us a number. But as the church began to grow, of course, the needs of the people increased also. So the church in Jerusalem appointed deacons to help with the needs of the congregation, exactly like we have done. And in verse 7, it tells us that the church multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And Stephen, a man named Stephen, who is one of the deacons, was mentioned as standing out as one of the deacons. And of course, there was some opposition from some leaders in the synagogue. Well, we know the story of Stephen, and his sermon is definitely worth reading. And because it shows how he reviews, he also shows how leaders have been rejected. God has sent people and they have been rejected for centuries. And so Stephen accuses the Jewish leaders of receiving the law but not keeping it. Well, first of all, they couldn't keep it perfectly. Nobody can, which is the whole reason that Jesus came, because no one could keep the law perfectly. But they had put their own twist on things, too. And then, of course, they pick up stones and start throwing them at him. And look at the similarities between Jesus and Stephen. He says, Lord, receive my spirit. And he says, do not hold this sin against them. Right after we've been through Holy Week, it's obvious that we see a very strong similarity between Stephen and Jesus. But as they're stoning him, at the beginning of chapter 8, we see a bystander. And he's watching. and approving of this persecution. And his name is Saul. And we'll obviously we're going to talk more about him later. But look and see what happened to the believers that were in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that they scattered. Because Saul is ravaging the new Christians. He's going into houses and dragging them out. So they left. Many of them left. They scattered to Judea and to Samaria. Now, if we go back to Acts 1:8, it says that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And then we'll get to the ends of the earth later. So, if any of you did the extra credit, I think it's really interesting that Gamaliel was the one that spoke up to tell the people, look, tell the Jewish leaders, look, if this is from God, you can't defeat it anyway. So there's no reason to try. So, and if it's from man, it's going to fail on its own. So just leave them alone. And who was Gamaliel? He was Paul's mentor. He was Paul's teacher. He was the one that had taught him all the ways of the Pharisees. And so Paul, or Saul at this point, Saul does not take the teacher's advice. He's ravaging the church. More next week. Thanks. Have a great week.